You're listening to Straight from the Heart, the Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia. Our teacher here on Straight from the Heart is Senior Pastor Joe Foch. We're currently in the New Testament, going verse by verse through the book of Colossians. On today's broadcast, we'll continue our study, beginning in chapter 2. Before we finish, I'll give you some additional information so you can contact us with any questions or comments. But first, open your Bible to Colossians chapter 2 and let's join Pastor Joe as he continues.
Stop letting people continually judge you in regards to meat. That's not just meat, it's what you eat, food, or in drink, or in respect to a holiday, holy day, or the new moon. The Jews had a lunar feast. Their feasts were attached to the full moon, or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. So don't let any man judge you. Oh, certainly let Christ judge you. Let the Spirit judge you. Let the Word judge you. As you have received Christ, so walk ye in Him, but don't let any man judge you. Men will condemn you. Christ will convict you. There's a big difference between the conviction of the Spirit and the condemnation of man. Condemnation drives you further from Christ. They both feel rotten. They both feel the same. When Satan comes and condemns you, you want to throw up your hands and give up. Why should I try anymore? I never measure up. I'll never be able to do it. I'm no good. Conviction, which comes from the Holy Spirit, draws you to Christ. Oh, Lord, I need to change. God, give me strength. Help me get through this. I never seem to change. You know what? You're pouring out your heart in the right direction, not being defeated. So don't let any man judge you according to what you eat. You know, look at you. You're out of shape. You need to go on a vegetarian diet. You're not taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, no, please. I like meat. I have faith. I say grace. I'm thankful for what God puts in front of me. There's people starving all over the world. When I say grace, I say, Lord, I never want to take it for granted. It may not be here next week or the week after. It's here today. Strengthen me that I might serve you. Sanctify it. Take all of the carcinogens out of it. Take all of the, you know. Or drink. Don't let any man judge you in regards to drink. Now, my conviction about this is, I believe, in keeping with the Scripture. First of all, drunkenness is a sin condemned by Scripture. Wrong. Well, is it wrong for me once or twice a year when I'm out for dinner with my wife, we have a glass of wine? Well, maybe it's not wrong for you. It's wrong for me. Paul says, God forbid, as the world stands, that I would do anything that stumbles my brother. I'm not going to let any man judge me, but I'll let the Spirit judge me. Is the Holy Spirit telling me to order a glass of wine? Is Christ telling me to do that? Is the Word telling me to do that? I want God's best for my life. I want His highest standard for my life. I don't have the right to take the money you put in the offering for God's work and spend it to buy a bottle of wine. You know, our elders, our leaders here are not allowed to do that. It's one of the things we ask. I don't want to hear about any pastor or any elder drinking. I think you need to take consideration. Teaching in school, worship leaders, Sunday school teachers, whatever you're doing, your life is your first sermon. Your life is your first demonstration of Christ's authority and lordship. Don't let any man judge you in regards to that. It's wrong for me. Is it wrong for you to have a glass of wine? That's between you and the Holy Spirit. Don't let any man judge you. But certainly let the Lord do it. Certainly let the Lord do it. Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. Don't let anybody judge you in regards to a holiday or of a new moon, the feasts, Sabbath days, important. Again, I remember somebody when Reggie White was still playing with Green Bay, and they said, if he was a real Christian, he wouldn't be playing football. Doesn't he know it's the Sabbath day and he's not supposed to be doing that on the Sabbath day? Doesn't say you can't play football on Sunday. He is not playing football on Sabbath, and he's not a Jew anyway. And you read through the scripture, it says that, listen, come on now, let's be serious. It says that the Sabbath day, you read in Exodus and you read in Deuteronomy, is a covenant between me and my people, Israel. And if you are going to be a Sabbath keeper, it says in the law that man should work 6 days and on the seventh day he should rest. So if you keep Sabbath, I expect you to work a 6-day work week. If you keep Sabbath every seventh year, you have to let your business go fallow and your ground. If you're a Sabbath keeper, every 50th year you have to forgive everybody who owes you any money anywhere. Sabbath is a big deal. And out of the Ten Commandments, it's the only one that's abrogated in the New Testament. We still are to worship one God. We're still to honor our parents. Murder is still wrong. Adultery is still wrong. Covetousness is still wrong. Those things are clearly outlined, but nowhere in the New Testament is keeping of Sabbath enjoined upon God's people. Public worship is the gathering together of ourselves. I think taking a day a week to rest is a wonderful thing. In fact, I think taking 2 days a week to rest is a wonderful thing. It's healthy. It's good for your immune system. It's just, but Sunday's my longest day. And I wish it was longer. I wish we had 7 services filled with people. Don't let anybody judge you in regards to the Sabbath. I'm not a Sabbath keeper. Paul says to one man, he esteems one day above another. Another man esteems every day the same. To me, my problem is simply this. I need to make every day Christ's day in my life. Every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, my entire life needs to be given to Christ. When I'm busy somewhere, when I'm flying somewhere, when I'm doing something somewhere, when the pace of life is crazy, my longing is to discover Christ in the middle of all of that and find Him in the middle of the busyness of life and let every day belong to Him. So if you want to judge me in regards to something, you can pray to that end in my life. But don't give me a hard time about the Sabbath. There. Because it says these are a shadow of things to come. But Christ, the body is of Christ, that they were a shadow, the sacrificial system, all of those things were looking forward, like looking into the light. And the thing that was casting the shadow was Christ. And He cast the shadow into the Old Testament. And they were all a shadow of a truth, which is the Christ. Verse 18, let no man beguile you, defraud you, let no man connive you of your reward in a voluntary, a false humility, in the worshiping of angels or of Mary or of anybody, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Don't let someone connive you out of your reward by some false humility. There's nothing worse than that, false humility. When somebody's saying, oh yes, brother, I love you, and you know they don't. Cut me a break. Not holding to the head, and which is Christ. He's preeminent. He's established that. Instead of worshiping these other things and practicing some false humility, not holding to the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God, abiding in Christ and then continuing to grow from there. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. You know, if you're going to do that, why not move away to a monastery somewhere and be cloistered away? Well, Jesus said you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. You put it out in the open where it can bring light to the whole house. Why are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. People love to do religious stuff, especially something that other people can see because it makes them feel good. They have a show of wisdom in will worship. You know, I'm going to huff and puff and blow this out, you know, in my own determination and humility, and of neglecting the body. They make it look like, oh, they're so austere, they're so, but not in any honor or value in regards to the satisfying of the flesh. They're, you know, it doesn't remedy the problem of the flesh. The flesh is still unsatisfied. This person can live a monastic life and do all of these things, and you know, outwardly there can be tremendous order and sacrifice and so forth, but the truth is the flesh is still the same. The traitor within hasn't been changed by all of that religious stuff. The change needs to take place from within. That's how the change needs to take place. So he says, don't let any man then, you know, beguile you. Don't let any man, you know, scheme and through some false humility and some outward show of monastic life or something, some, you know, something that can make you look good outwardly and put so that you're an A Christian and most other Christians are just B Christians or C Christians. You know, that doesn't really have anything to do with changing the problem that's within. Now, if ye then be risen with Christ, now he says that over here in verse 12, you're buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through faith. If you're risen with Christ, and the if there, the class condition, the Greek, is it since you are risen with Christ, since that's an established fact, since you're risen with Christ, and the tenses here are beautiful, constantly be seeking, those are the tenses, constantly be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, constantly set your affections or your mind, your desires on the things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So, since you are risen with Christ, then constantly be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's a great thing. We have great advantage. We have tremendous freedom to study the scripture, to set our hearts before the Lord, to sit down and to look at Revelation chapter 21 and 22, to look at an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is entered in the mind of man the things God has prepared for those who love him, but by his Spirit he has made those things real to us. Constantly be setting your affection on things above. There's a day coming when this corruption is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. There's a day coming when we'll have a reunion with our loved ones that have gone on before us and stand arm in arm with them around the throne of Jesus Christ and embrace them and feel them. There's a day coming where so many in our midst today that are suffering with cancer and tortured with physical illness are going to be whole and healthy and free and sound. There's a day coming where there's no sickness, nor curse, nor death, nor sorrow, no sighing, no tears. Setting our affection on things above. I think of the early apostles who had fled, who were afraid, who had denied Christ. And yet we find them in the book of Acts changed, filled with the Spirit of God. Peter, who denied Christ three times, will be crucified upside down. When they take him out to crucify him, he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. So they turn him upside down. They crucify him upside down. Matthew is skinned alive. Andrew is crucified, shot full of arrows. Philip is impaled on a pole. Stephen stoned. James beheaded. You study through the tradition and the history of these men, and their struggle was not, should I go see an R-rated movie or shouldn't I? Should I have a glass of wine or shouldn't I? That wasn't even in the question. They had one goal and one desire. They had set their affection on things above, and the Spirit of God had made those things real, and they long for the day to look into the face of Christ again. They long for the day to be rejoined with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and with the redeemed to be gathered. They long for the day when Christ would rule supreme. What's wrong with that? And how could that ever be impractical? And if you're sitting here and you're wrestling with all of that other junk, then it's time to get your heart before the Lord and say, you're eternal, you're divine, you're all-powerful, you're creator, you're sustainer, you're redeemer, you saved me, you have power in my life. Lord, take my heart, take my mind, take my desire, my affections, and set them on things above. Lord, cleanse me, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Do something real, because I guarantee you, if the nukes start to go off, I guarantee you, if all of a sudden our lives are in jeopardy, all of a sudden we get more serious. We get more serious. But there's another way. That's growing in grace. Again, we don't want to see church just jammed because war starts. We want to see church jammed because people are in love with Jesus Christ. They can't wait to come and to study his word and to worship and lift their hearts and their lives and sing their hearts out in his presence, and because their affections are set on things above and not on things of the earth. Great exhortation. I'm going to tell you something. It wouldn't be given to us unless it could be real in our lives. God doesn't hold some carrot out in front of us to frustrate us, to tease us. He tells fathers, and further in this book, not to provoke their children. So he doesn't hold something out in front of us that can't be a reality in our lives. The question is, what do we want? How frustrated are we with the world? Are we still attracted to the world? Do we love the world? Or are we through with it? Are we broken? Are we sick of it? Oh, we're sick of it when cancer comes. We're sick of it when life is crumbling. But we can go to him and he can open our eyes. And mine, pray for me. I want greater love in my life, being returned to the one who has so loved me first. I want greater consecration and commitment in my own life. If ye then be risen with Christ, constantly seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Constantly set your affection, your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Paul said that. We're renewed day by day while we look, not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Paul needed that. The great apostle said that he needed to keep his focus to have daily renewal. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moths nor rust corrode, where thieves don't break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he encourages us to lay up our treasures in heaven, that our heart should be attracted there. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead. You used to be dead in sin, now you're dead to sin through the work of Christ. You're no longer dead in trespasses and sin, you're dead to sin. Something's happened, a transaction that's divine and all-powerful has taken place in your life. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, and he is, if you want to live past the grave, he is, and Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Take note of that. When Christ shall appear, the parousia, then you will appear with him. There is the coming of Christ for his church, and there is the coming of Christ with his church. Enoch saw the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. Oh, that's John Darby and Margaret MacDonald and that whole movement. That's where the pre-wrath rapture. No. It's biblical doctrine. Justification by faith is not historic church doctrine. When it was reawakened, people paid for it with their lives and were burned at the stake. Huss and Luther persecuted, and great men. And justification by faith was not historic church doctrine. It was biblical New Testament doctrine. And the imminent return of Christ is not historic church doctrine. It is New Testament doctrine that we are to watch and to be ready, that he could come at any moment, that there isn't anything restraining that, that we can't say that Jesus can't come for 7 years. He can come tonight for his church. And putting that off produces bad fruit. Who is this wicked servant, Jesus says, who says in his heart, the Lord delayeth his coming, and he begins to get drunk and to fist fight and to do this and that. No, any man who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. It is the purifying hope of the church that Christ could come tonight. If Christ is coming tonight, I didn't say he was. I'm saying he could. What needs to change in your life? Would porn be going out in the trash? Would you be home dumping out a whiskey bottle? Throwing out the chips from Atlantic City? You'd be on your knees begging your wife for forgiveness for being a jerk, or your husband, apologizing to your kids. What would need to change if you knew tonight was the night? There are things that if I thought, wow, the Lord's coming at midnight, I'd probably make a phone call here and there. I don't have anything to dump out or throw out. I'm not saying that, please, But, I'd take some inventory. Set your affections on things above. Since you're risen with Christ, something supernatural has happened. And the God that calls things that are not as though they were has imputed to you the resurrected life. And as far as he is concerned, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Your life, the life we're waiting to manifest, is hidden there in Christ with God. And the day is coming. And how quickly is it coming? And could it be tonight? You're watching the news. You're seeing what's going on. What's going to happen? I don't know dogmatically, step by step, but I know we are in the days that Christ spoke of. Closer to the coming of Christ than any generation of the church who has ever lived. If ye then, since you are in fact risen with Christ, seek constantly those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Constantly set your affections, your desire, on the things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with, great word, with him. That when he appears and the sky splits open and the tribes of the earth mourn and they look up, Jesus is not coming alone. He's coming with his angels and he's coming with 10,000s of his saints on white horses riding behind him. What a day. Come, Lord Jesus.
That concludes our teaching time here on Straight from the Heart. If you enjoyed today's message from Colossians chapter 2 and would like to hear it again in its entirety, you can listen to it on our website for free at www.ccphilly.org. Just go to our homepage and click on Teachings, then select Straight from the Heart and click on the study with today's date. Today's message number is WED-368. That's WED-368. You can also listen to today's teaching from Colossians chapter 2 or any other message from Genesis to Revelation by downloading our free app on your tablet or mobile device. Just go to your app store and search for CC Philly or go to our website and click the link for the mobile app. In addition to our app, you can also study the Bible with Pastor Joe by subscribing to our Straight from the Heart radio podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. For more information on this broadcast or Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, don't forget to visit our website at ccphilly.org. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us next time as we continue with more great Bible teaching that comes straight from the heart.